Amen. It's good to be here tonight. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. And this week, the past 2 weeks, as I've been preparing, I'm thinking, you know, I'm sure Pastor thinks it's the same when he's preparing. I get more out of the message than you do. You know, you study, let's say you're looking at a chapter like we'll be doing tonight. You're reading through it over and over and over again. And you see more, and you try to apply it to your life. And it's really incredible. I love to preach because it gets me in the Word of God. We're going to start in Matthew 28, verse 19. I'd like to take the opportunity to share just a couple verses first about how God's led me to be a missionary to Greenland. I believe I've shared it with everybody, but maybe there's a few I've missed. I want everybody to know. It was in 2014, maybe 2013, when God started putting that vision on my heart. And it took me 3 years before I could actually say, God's called me to Greenland, and I know it for sure. And this week, I've been going through my journal, and I counted up at least 70 verses that God's given me, guiding me to Greenland. I was just like, wow. You know, partially I look at that and say, how stubborn am I? 70 verses? How much does it take? But let's read Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So I've always known that verse. But then, a few weeks later, I believe, I read Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 47. A verse that really stuck out to me. Luke 12, 47 says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And after I read that verse, I'm like, whoa. You know, God gave me this vision, this desire to be a missionary to Greenland. And then he gives me this verse. It's like, if you're not preparing, if you're not willing to go, you shall be beaten with many stripes. You'll be punished. God will take care of you. And we see that in the Bible as different passages. But let's go to Micah 6. Just another verse that God led. I could go through a lot, but I don't feel like talking about myself too much. I want to get into the message. Micah 6:1 says, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Just one verse that God gave me, just saying, go. This is what I want for you. And then I remember the first time I talked to Pastor about what the Lord was putting on my heart, and through his word, he brought up Psalms 37, verse 4. And this is a verse I think about a lot, about when our desires line up with God's, God will fulfill our desires. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's simple, it makes sense. But Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I would say it took me so long before I could say, God's called me here. I'm 100% sure about it. Because for years, even before God started giving me verses, that's been my desire. Oh man, a cold place, snow and all that. You know, that in my flesh, that's what I wanted. That was my dream, as it were. So it took me a while before I was ready to say, all right, this is God's will, not just my own desires. Tonight, though, we're going to be looking in 1 Kings chapter 13. We'll turn there and then we'll pray. 1 Kings 13. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for the safety. I thank you for what you allowed us to get done. And Lord, thank you for the opportunities to set our affections on things above, Lord, I just ask that you would help us now as we read your word. Lord, tonight as we specifically focus on this chapter and try to see what we can learn from it about your will for our lives, Lord, each one of our lives. Lord, I just ask you would teach us, Lord, give me the words to say, give me clarity of thought. I just ask you to bless this night. Jesus, I pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 13. We don't do this often, but I'd like to read the whole chapter, and then we'll go through it, looking at a few different verses that I've gathered a few points from. So we'll start. It says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Verse 8, And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Verse 19, And he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. He cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment with the Lord thy God commanded me, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread, and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by him. The lion also stood by the carcass, and behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the old prophet brought him back from the way thereof, he said, It is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him, and slayed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, Saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass." And after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated them. And he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Now, I've probably read this chapter at least a dozen times in the past week, 2 weeks. And the things that God brought to me is just like, whoa. The first point I have is in verse 1. Let's go back there. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." So I titled this message, "God's Will in Bethel." So how can we apply this to our lives? What is Bethel? Where is our Bethel? That is wherever God has called us. We see in verse 1 here that God called a man of God out of Judah to go to Bethel to prophesy against this altar that was offering incense to idolatry, to idols. This man of God made it clear that burning incense to idols was a wicked thing, and it greatly displeased him. It greatly displeased Jeroboam. We see that in verse 4. Let's read verse 4. "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, 'Lay hold on him.' And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him." So Jeroboam, after the man of God from Judah prophesied against this altar, he says, lay hold on him, and his hand dries up. And what's his response then? We see then he admits who has the power to dry his hand up and who has the power to bring it back again to him. And let's look at what he says there. "In his hand which he had put..." verse 6. "And the king answered and said unto the man of God, 'Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again.' And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before." After I read that verse, I don't know, quite a few times, it finally stuck out to me how to apply it to our lives. Let's say we go to do something, and this happens often. We think it's a good idea, and we get in the middle of it, and God's like, "No, this isn't where I want you. This isn't what I want you to be doing." And there's nothing we can do but to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to do your will now." Maybe it was out of our selfishness, out of our self-will, whatever it may be. But so many times that happens to us. And thinking about Jeroboam, he was a king. He was the king of most of Israel at that time. Now, not for very long, but he was the king. Proverbs 16:14 says, "The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it." You know, the king is a powerful man. But yet his hand dries up, and he has to call out to God. God. Or he calls out to the man of God, saying, "Pray to your God to restore me my hand as it was before." But then we also think Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." That's another amazing thing, just pointing to the fact that God is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's in control of all. Now let's go to Hebrews 12:6. Hebrews 12:6. as children of God, God is never, or we are never out of God's reach. And that's an encouraging thing, but the chastening comes in there. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." We cannot step out of God's reach. God's always there to say, "No, you're going the wrong place. I want you going here, there, wherever it may be." Point number three, let's go back to 1 Kings 13. Who will we serve? 1 Kings 13, we'll read verse 2 again. It says, "And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." So the man of God prophesies that this altar that they were using to burn incense to these idols, these false gods, not the true and living God, those priests, those wicked priests, as we read in the last part of the chapter, people that were just common people, the worst among the people, that's who Jeroboam set as priests. Those same priests will be burnt upon that same altar years later. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 34. We see this prophecy fulfilled. And just thinking about how when we sell ourselves to the devil, as it were, when we forsake the true and living God, where does that put man? It destroys him. 2 Chronicles 34, let's start in verse 1. "Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them. And he cut down the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. He brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them." And here it is. "And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem." So we see these wicked priests, ungodly priests, were burnt. Their bones were burnt. It was years later. But their bones were burnt upon their own altar. And that's where sin leads a man. That's where sin would lead us. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:26. Oh, how thankful we are to have Christ, to be able to read the Word of God, to learn how to live free from the power of sin. And we think about this wicked world, they're taken captive by the devil at his will. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." That's just another reason for us to go, to say, and to say whatever God would have us, where we are, to the lost. Because they are vulnerable before the devil. They need the power of Christ. They need the freedom that Christ can offer them. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil is a murderer. He does not love anyone. And all these devil worshipers, Satanists, they think the devil is some blessed creature. No. The devil would have them be burnt. And that he knows their end. And as you think about these wicked priests, they were burnt upon their own altar. And that's what the devil wanted. That's what the devil desired. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." What a blessing. Let's go to 1 Kings 18. Another instance where people, they're calling out to Baal, are torturing themselves in hopes of reaching him. 1 Kings 18. And verse 27. 1 Kings 18:27 says, "And it came to pass as at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after this manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them." We would say, what foolishness. They're trying to please their God in hopes of reaching him. So they're cutting themselves. They're torturing themselves. And this happens even today. Like Brother Michael talked about it in his country. You know, it still happens. But that's of the devil. And people need Christ. And we're so thankful for Christ. Let's go back to 1 Kings 13, just a few chapters back. When under the chastening of God, what will our response be? Let's read verse 6 again. 1 Kings 13, verse 6. "And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again. And it became as it was before." Now, what can you gather from Jeroboam? What was his only concern? His hand. That's all he cared about. "Entreat for me that my hand may be restored again." He wasn't like Saul, as we'll look at in a second, that said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I thought of these two, like, wow. There's two responses that we can have to God's chastening. "Lord, whatever it takes to be in my comfortablest place, whatever it takes to get what I want." Or are we going to have the spirit of, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go?" Let's go to Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 6, and look at Paul. Acts 9, verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So Saul, he was blinded. And he didn't say, "Lord, give me my sight again." You know, vision is a very important thing to us. We treasure our vision like, I don't know, no other sense, probably. But he didn't say, "Lord, give me my eyesight again." He said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And contrast that with Jeroboam, which said, "Lord," oh, he said to the man of God, saying, "I want my hand back." That's all he cared about. So there's two different responses. What will we have? Let's go back to 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. The next point I have is beware of comfy Christians. Now, that does not mean people on soft, lazy boys. I mean by that, beware of Christians in name. They call themselves Christians, but are not truly concerned about the work of God, the work of Christ. Let's read 1 Kings 13. And verse 14. "And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water and drink with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee in thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. My thoughts about this prophet, this old prophet that lived in Bethel, why wasn't he doing anything to try to turn these people from idolatry to serving the true and living God? Was he was old. Did he grow weary in the work of God and just give up? Those are the kind of people we need to be aware of. They call themselves Christians, but yet they've gave up. They've yielded to the world. Now, I can't judge this old prophet completely, but that's my thoughts. That's my curiosity. Was he really not in the work of God? I don't know. But it doesn't seem like it. He was so seared, he was able to lie, flat out lie, to this other prophet. It just makes me wonder why. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 22. 1 Samuel 15. In verse 22, says, but the people took of the spoils sheep and oxen, and the chief of those things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, as I've read this story over the years, I often wonder, why did the man of God that was in the work of God, he heeded the call of God to go to the Bethel in the first place, and he said the words that God told him to speak. But as we read, he was the one that died. The lion slew him. But yet this old prophet that seemingly was not in the work of God, he lived. I was like, this ain't right. This ain't fair. So I've been praying about this passage, trying to understand it. And I believe the thing that God wants us to see is that to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God is what God desires of us most. He wants us to obey. In this story here, they took of the spoils that they were not supposed to, and they thought, wow, look at all this stuff. We can give it to God. They thought they were doing something special, but they were not obeying, and God was not happy at all. Well, let's go back to 1 Kings 13, look at verse 11 next. 1 Kings 13, verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also their father. Is God able to use us where we are right now? You know, maybe this old prophet, he wasn't usable. So God had to call this other prophet, another man of God, from Judah, from a place farther away. Why wasn't God able to use that old prophet of Bethel? It's closer. You know, we think about these missionaries even to America. They come to America because we're one of the most wicked nations there is. And we would think, what? We've got America. No, we don't. We need more laborers. We need more evangelically minded believers. But are we where God wants us to be? Are we doing what God wants us to do where he's placed us? And this old prophet, I don't believe, was doing that. Let's read verse 18. We see that his heart, I already mentioned this, but let's read it again. We see that his heart was not perfect toward God. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. You know, some, thinking about kids and lying, some kids find it easier to lie than others. Personally, I had a really hard time lying. It was like, it just seemed dreadful to me. But others, it's easier. And lying, that to me is a scary thing. Because once you can lie to other people, you can lie to yourself, you can lie to God, you can do anything and make it right with your own conscience. But to me, that's a dreadful thing, to lie. And this prophet lied, saying that God, that an angel, told me this to tell you. He was flat out lying. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2. Getting into the next point here. Philippians, if I can find it. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So thinking about that verse, let's go back to 1 Kings 13. You know, at the end of the old prophet's life, I think he realized this, that he was no better than the other prophet. And that maybe he deserved, maybe he understood that he deserves to die too for what he did, for leading this younger prophet astray. Well, let's read verse 1 Kings 13 and verse 31. It says, and it came to pass after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. So we see at the end of this older prophet's life, the one that deceived the other prophet, we see that he wanted to make sure his sons knew, bury me beside that prophet, the prophet that prophesied true things that were from God against that altar and against that wickedness there in Bethel. And I don't know, maybe he truly felt bad. Another thing that always puzzled me is when they're sitting and eating, they're eating together, and then God speaks to the older prophet, telling the younger prophet that came from Judah, you're not going to be buried in your the sepulcher of your fathers. I'm like, how did that go over? And they finished eating? I don't know, there's so many things in this chapter that just puzzle me. Like, how does this work? I don't know all things, but there is a lot to ponder about. Let's go to Joshua 24, verse 15 in closing. Joshua 24 and verse 15. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in church, and even in our personal devotions, we think a lot, we talk a lot about doing God's will. And oftentimes, we're talking about being called to do this or that. We're thinking about preachers, missionaries, evangelists, pastors, and such like. But God has a will, God has a plan for each one, wherever it may be. And it's a challenge to us, wherever we are at this time, what does God want us to be doing? And it's easy to think, well, I know what God wants me to do. And it's easy to do. Oh, really? Trials will come, temptations will come. And we think about this prophet. God put trials, God put temptations in his way. And maybe not God, maybe the devil, man, whoever it was. There was temptations, there was trials. He said, don't go back the way you came. Why? I don't know. Maybe because, you know, when you go somewhere, it's easier to go back the way you came because you know how to get back. I don't know why God calls us to do certain things. We must trust and obey. And as we go about this week, may God help us, no matter where we are, even if it seems like a menial task, whether it be doing the dishes or doing the chores, whatever it may be, God has put us there in those times. And those are times when we have time to meditate, to think about the Word of God. I just ask that God would help us this week. Let's pray. Dear, I do thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for your Word and how it can teach us. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, that shows us things out of your Word, Lord, that we would never see otherwise. And I just ask that you would help us, that would help us to be content in your will. But Lord, help us not to be content in where maybe we are spiritually, maybe where what we have accomplished for you. Lord, we truly understand that you desire us to be totally sold out to you, as it were, totally surrendered to you to do whatever you would have us do. And Lord, we understand that we fail. Lord, I ask that you forgive us. And Lord, I just praise you. I thank you for the victory we have through Christ. And I just ask that we would take your word and that we would soak it up, that we may share it with others. And Lord, I do pray for the many of our relatives, of our family members, of the people we meet through work or such. I just ask that you would help us to share the gospel with them, that they might truly come to understanding that they can serve the true and living God and find life, as opposed to following this world and finding death. Lord, I just ask you would be with us this night. Lord, give us rest. Help us to live for you the rest of our days. Lord, we just plead for your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.